are listening to the Elephant in the Room podcast with your host, Sutta Singh. Each week, we will bring you a diverse range of inspiring speakers on issues of inequality and inequity. You will hear stories about fairness, justice, belonging, and about best practice for creating a more inclusive workplace. So, if you are an individual or leader interested in a fairer, equitable, compassionate society and workplace, this podcast is for you.
My guest this week is Bola Olabisi, founder of Global Women Inventors and Innovators Network, a platform to recognize the inventions and innovations by women across the globe. She's also a social entrepreneur, author, innovator, and was recognized by the Mayor of London as one of the 100 women that make London great in 2019. Good morning, Bola. Lovely to have you here. So tell us how you set up the Global Women Inventors and Innovators Network in 1998. What prompted you to set it up?
At the time, I don't think that I went out looking to set up the network. I happened to stumble into a gap. And I have been brought up to be that kind of person where you see the need to bridge that gap and you just go for it if you feel that you have the capabilities to do it. And so I found that at that time, there were very little that was known about inventors, both men and women. Historically, we had more male inventors. Very, very few women were known to have invented anything. In most cases, they would talk about Marie Curie, and then that would be the end of it. And there was a need to be able to show that we do have the intelligence. Women have the capabilities. And I felt that somehow we hadn't fully utilized and promoted what women were capable of doing. I thought, what could I do about it? One of the things that I do know how to do is to network and to be able to bring together a huge amount of expertise, knowledge, and encouragement from people that I know in order to set up the network that specializes in putting the spotlight on women inventors and innovators.
That's been an immense contribution to women inventors and innovators in society at large. You were awarded a doctorate for your project on gender and innovation by the University of London. And then you had another project that you funded, a research project across 5 countries looking at the role of women in organizations.
I quickly realized that this was an area that we needed to look at and applied for a PhD. I needed to do more research, and I was already working in this particular area. I felt that we needed to promote more role models of ingenious women and the role that they play in society. I was on the right track in terms of the work that I was doing, that I was partnering with the right kind of partners, many of them within these educational institutions, being able to take that on board and move it into a direction that would advance the women who, at the time, have a very challenging journey to be able to move up the ladder. Now, in terms of the European-funded project that you speak about, I would say it's the same sort of thing in the sense that we had a lot of women who were working extremely hard, who were bringing their remarkable work, but very little was being put in terms of putting the spotlight on their achievements. And I felt that if you're not in a leadership position, it can be extremely hard to influence decisions. So you need to be successful. You need to be able to make those decisions. And I was so delighted when I was asked whether Global Women would be a partner in this EU-funded research project, which cut across 5 countries. And we looked at the results. We did our research, we looked at women innovators in particular, and tried to see how, when bringing their innovative ideas within the workplace, how is it being received? Are they easily seen as a challenge, or are they seen as an invaluable asset within the workplace? And how do they incorporate them at top management level? So the research was quite intense. It took 3 years to do. I hope that we can safely say that we are getting better. I don't think we're there yet. we needed to ensure that we promoted more women in order to access the decision-making positions. As I said, there's so much work to be done.
It's a journey, and I think change is going to take some time. Bola, tell us about Gwyn's journey.
At first, when we started, we focused mainly on inventors, women inventors. But we soon began to see that there's an importance in ensuring that innovation plays a big aspect in what we're doing and not just leaving it at inventors. Now, we have grown over the years. We've had our challenges. We grew in a way at first where the numbers were extremely high, 2,750 members. We had the support of government departments, corporates, and a lot of partnership with a lot of institutions. But over the years, we have seen that support, especially the financial aspect support, slowly diminish. In fact, we were one of many women's organizations. And I would say that at the time when we started in 1998, we are probably one of the only ones that's still standing. The focus has changed. So we have had to look at a way to survive, a way to keep what we're doing going. And we felt that having the regional networks, which means that we have networks within the regions of Africa, Asia Pacific, Europe, Northern America, and most recently, we've looked at the Middle East, whereby they have the same ethos, the same aims and objectives, but it's regionalized. And then, of course, all of them are affiliated to the global network, whereby we work together in order to have a bigger and stronger voice.
This is stellar work. Do you map the journey of your award winners? And who are your biggest success stories? Are there some success stories that you still talk about or continue to talk about?
I think every day I'm completely amazed with the remarkable inputs and contribution that these women bring to society. It is always very difficult for me to pinpoint one particular one. I would say that we do map the journey. It is an extremely time-consuming task, but where we can, we do. I would refer to them as torchbearers to innovation. They have the qualities that are associated with shared determination and commitment. And when you see those kind of qualities in every single one of these women that are bringing these inventions and innovations out, it's very difficult to say now, this is the best one. But I do have some that I would say I really never forget about over the years. I think of Mandy Haberman from the United Kingdom, that she had the tenacity and the experience that she had in order to be able to bring this to millions of young babies and young people with disabilities. But clearly, she's a role model and an inspiration to so many because she has had to go through a journey of ups and downs and is still standing at the end of it. You know, we've provided and presented awards to exemplary women such as Julia Barfield, with her innovative design and concept of the London Eye. To be able to have such a woman being presented with an award by ourselves, but not only that, being able to speak to us about the journey, that it wasn't easy. We have lots and lots of inventions in the medical field, in the food industry, exceptionally creative products and items. And I mustn't forget some of the women that have come with such wonderful, useful, invaluable social innovation that are not products, but the social capacity building aspects of education and information transfer. There are some aspects that are not high technology. They're just simply high viability products.
It's very encouraging to hear about these role models and these success stories because they make a big difference to our society. I'm aware that patenting is hugely important for inventors and innovators. How aware are your participants about patenting and why is there a need for education?
Right. Just before I answer that particular question that you've asked me, I'd like to go back to the success stories. And I think many a times we tend to dwell on the success stories and forget that the failures that people have and experience can be such a teaching ground. It's a ground to learn and it's a ground to reflect and evaluate what could be done better. And a lot of the inventors and innovators have failed several times. Sometimes we have women who come back and, you know, put in the same invention for an award. And people wonder, why are they doing this? And that's because they've gone back to the drawing board. They've failed. And they're trying to find out, is it right now? So I'm a great believer that, yes, let's share the success stories, but also let's not undermine the impact of what the failures have been and how they have moved from that failure into the success remit. Now, in terms of the question you asked about patents and how the role that we're playing, I think it's important to understand intellectual property rights. Patents are important, but it's not the only way. There are other intellectual property rights opportunities that are there that people sometimes overlook. Patents are extremely expensive. It's an area that we are constantly looking into to see how we can play a role in perfecting, or should I say, contributing to making it easier for a lot of inventors to patent their inventions. However, there's a need to understand the other choices that are available, such as copyright, trademarks, design registration, trade secrets, and even using legalities such as contracts. Our network is a network that provides information and provides choices for people.
So patenting, of course, is very important, as you said, but then there are other things that they can look to in order to protect their invention. And thank you for making the point on failure. It is very important in our society to recognize that failure is often the springboard to great ideas and greater thoughts and bigger innovations. We are all aware of the disparity in numbers between men and women inventors and innovators. What can we do to encourage more women or girls to consider following this path?
I would not want to sit here and feel that we are the only ones who are making a difference. I would say that we continuously work with other organizations. There's no point in reinventing the wheel. I think there's a need for us to collaborate more. I'm pleased that we have partnered with IPAN, the Intellectual Property Awareness Network, and joined our voices with them in terms of our commitment to championing the importance and understanding of intellectual property within various levels, not just within the businesses, and in particular within the educational system. I think that we need to make it more interesting. The word intellectual property, patents, engineering, can sound a little off-putting for those people who feel that it's going to be so complicated. We need to make it as fun as possible. For people to see that it has impact, it has an end result, and the end result has that invaluable aspects within the technical industry, within the fast-moving pace of the world that we're in today. We cannot ignore the fact that we need to take this into the schools, and we need to be able to pinpoint how it all interacts and relates to the work that they're doing. Even if it's just something that they might feel is not as high tech as they feel it should be. But it's all related in some way or the other.
Tell us more about this year's awards and how is it going to be different?
First of all, of course, it is going to be virtual because of the lockdown that we're experiencing and this COVID-19 that everybody is aware of at the moment. But it hasn't stopped us. We're going virtual, but we're going to make it as close as possible to what we've done in the past. I would say in terms of what are we doing that's different this time, I think we are taking our gender inclusive and inclusiveness much more seriously. We have a lot of men, should I say, that are role models that support our aims and objectives, and that we need to put the spotlight on them so that other men can also see the impacts that women are having in society through their innovation. So we've introduced the Paul Ambridge Award category, which is mainly for men to enter. And we've seen some remarkable entries of both partner teams of men and women. And I believe that we need to do more of that as well. We also are looking at the young people of today, the under 25s, looking at ensuring that we don't miss those younger ones in schools that are doing something that we need to encourage more of. So I think it's going to be an exciting time. It's going to be quite remarkable.
To move on to the next question, Bola, as a celebrated and successful woman of color, what has been your experience of racism?
As I explained earlier, in terms of my educational background, and I was born here in Coventry, went to primary school, secondary school, and I've been in the higher educational system too in this country. I know that it can be a pretty devastating experience, especially when you're working extremely hard. You feel you need to work harder, much, much harder than every other person to prove yourself. You know you're doing this only because of your color and your race. It's consciously there in your mind. And there are sometimes when it is so subtle, you cannot place it. And I think that's even far much more dangerous, because when you can identify that racism is happening, you know how to battle and how to be strong and how to get around it. But when it's so subtle that you can't quite put your finger on it, but you know that there are many things that you're doing that could have gone further, far much more. And you can see other counterparts that are doing far less, and yet they're going forward and they're going higher, and you feel that there's something there. And so I feel that I have experienced racism, but I have not allowed it to stop me. I have moved on regardless. And while it has taken longer for me to reach a lot of what I would like to achieve, I can see that I've been able to break down a lot of those barriers.
Yes, you have. And you've been recognized in 2019 by the mayor of London as one of the 100 women that make London great. So yes, absolutely, I think recognition where it is due.
Thank you so much for raising that, because so many times I was working over and over that I haven't got time to think about the awards that I've received. But each and every one has always been a great pat on the back, and I'm always very appreciative of such awards.
So do you think that post-Black Lives Matter and COVID-19, this year is going to be a year when things are going to change?
Well, I think it does matter. There's no doubt in my mind that it matters. But I think sometimes some people don't quite understand what it's there for and why we're doing, and why we think that there should be any slogan that says Black Lives Matter. And I think that what it does is it raises awareness, it raises people to question their thought process, it allows people to think about this dreadful ignorance that could creep back into society.
Where do you find your purpose, and what drives you every day, Bola?
Oh, I have so many things that drives me. First of all, I have to say that I have a very strong faith in God, and I am always driven by my faith and the fact that I do want to leave a legacy behind for women. I have looked at my journey and the challenges that I have faced personally. And if what I'm doing can make the lives of another woman, if it can make it easier, then I think that I'll be able to pat myself on the back and say that I'm doing something. The world can be so beautiful when we help each other out. And I think that it's my way of giving back to society, making my family and friends proud of what I'm doing.
Last question, what would your advice be to your younger self?
Well, I think my advice to my younger self, now that I've had 22 plus years of experience of Global Win, is to know my limitations and to know when it's time to step back. But at the same time, to appreciate what I have achieved over the years and to be able to celebrate the achievements with everyone. So just take each day at a time, enjoy the quality of life that we all have today. It's a case of the glass is half full rather than half empty.
On that wonderful thought, we'll end the show. Thank you so much, Bola, for being here and for your great thoughts.
Thank you very much for having me.
Thank you for joining us this week on the Elephant in the Room podcast. Don't forget to subscribe to the show on any of your favorite platforms, iTunes, Spotify, Google Podcasts, And if you enjoyed listening to the podcast today, don't forget to write a review and tell your friends. Sign up on the link in the show notes to receive updates on our guest speakers, blogs, and events. And don't forget to tune in every Thursday for new episodes.